So we're ready. Couple of notices. On the 14th of July, which is a Sunday, from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m., we are celebrating Torbay's community anniversary. That's the organisation that provides the community builders, right? And they're having cream tea to celebrate their anniversary. But anyone who goes must let them know before. So you've got a couple of weeks yet, but if you let me know if you would like to go, Eunice and I are going. But it's from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. and it's a way of celebrating the fact that despite lack of funds, really, because community work used to be done by the council, didn't it? And this organisation that provides our community builders is an independent organisation now, as far as finance is concerned. But they're celebrating the anniversary, I don't know how many years, Eunice? 10 years. All right. So there we are. So, but let Eunice know, or me, if you'd like to go. That's the 14th of July, Sunday afternoon, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. We can let you know that next week. All right. The other thing is that as we begin to start today, we have been, as a fellowship, praying for Rachel, who is a former workmate of Bruce Barker's. And she has valued our prayers. And we noticed that it is her birthday this coming Friday. And she listens to our recordings every Sunday. So we're going to sing now, Happy Birthday to Rachel. Thank you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Rachel. Happy birthday to you.
Have a great day, Rachel.
Yep.
Where is she?
Where is she?
Yeah.
I'm sitting on a
barstool. Barstool, I thought it was.
Yeah, if it should hear it, Rachel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, thank you, Julie.
Good morning. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Richard.
He's waving his hand.
I've turned him off, so you can't hear him, sorry.
He's saying something.
So, a wonderful message again this morning. We cannot escape from God's presence. I hope that we wouldn't want to.
No.
But we cannot. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Bruce is obviously going to elaborate on that later. But it's just a wonderful thought that we cannot escape his presence. We're with him always. He's with us always. So we're going to start in a moment. I'll pray and then we're going to sing, I Serve a Risen Saviour. And the chorus says, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. So let's pray. Jesus, thank you that we can come to you, not just this morning, but every moment of our life. we can come to know you and know that you are present with us by your Holy Spirit. So we want to thank you. We want to lift your name on high. We want to praise you this morning. Whatever our week looked like, and whatever next week's going to look like, we want to praise you because you walk through everything with us. So thank you, Jesus, that we can worship you in spirit and in truth as brothers and sisters today. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Drown out the background music. That's a good start.
I don't know what Richard's doing. He's showing something on it.
Sharing that song on this film.
Right now we come to our Lord, excuse me, we come to our Lord in prayer. I don't know how we feel about prayer. Sometimes we may feel that God is not answering our prayers. We may feel at times that God seems to be too distant. And yet, of course, that's just not true. God always wants to hear and answer our prayers. In other words, coming to the Lord in prayer shouldn't be something we feel we've got to do, but it should be something we love to do. It should be a privilege. Let's just pray. Lord God, we pray that the Holy Spirit may come to us in a new and wonderful way. We pray that the Spirit might set our hearts aflame with love. Glorious God, rejoicing in all your blessings and trusting in your loving care, we bring our prayers to you this morning. We pray for the created world, for those who rebuild where things have been destroyed, for those who fight hunger, poverty, and disease, for those who have power to bring change for the better and for to renew hope. We pray for our country. We pray for those in leadership who frame our laws and shape our common life. We pray for those who keep and administer justice. We pray for those who teach. We pray for those who heal. We pray for all who serve the community. We pray for people in need, for those whose life is bitter struggle, for those whose lives are clouded by death, or by loss, or by pain, or by disability, or by discouragement, or fear, by shame, or rejection. We pray for those in the circle of friendship and love. We pray for children, parents, sisters, brothers, friends, neighbours. And we pray especially now for those who are in our thoughts today. Lord, we pray for Bruce's parents, John and Margaret, and we ask, Lord, that you would be all that they need at this time. And Lord, we pray for our dear friend, Stuart. Lord, we miss him. We thank you for his years of devotion and service to you, Lord. And we pray that you would be with him, that you would help him, that you would be everything that he might need, his close friend. Take away, Lord, any fear that there might be, and let him know, Lord, that you love him and that you will be with him through thick and thin. And Lord, we pray for April. We pray, Lord, for her continued recovery. We also pray, Lord, for Rachel that we've been singing happy birthday to. We pray, Lord, that as she reaches out to you, that you will always be there, that you will give her assurance of all that you are. Let her know, Lord, that you love her and you will not let her down. We pray, Lord, for the church. We pray for its stand with the poor, for its stand in its love for the outcast and the ashamed, for its stand in its service to the sick and the neglected, in its proclamation of the gospel in this land and in this place. Lord, we thank you that we can come to you. And we know, Lord, that you not only hear our prayers, but we know that you will answer them, yes, in accordance with your will. But Lord, we know you are a loving God. and you will never leave us or forsake us. And so, eternal God, hear these our prayers, the spoken and the silent. We bring them in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. And Lord, we know that you are great, and we want to give you the glory, Father, Son, and Spirit, both now and forevermore. Amen.
A favourite. Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here.
Verses 1 to 14. O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Amen.
Thank you.
Christ alone, my hope is found. And another reminder, no power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. Christ
So, the message, we cannot escape from God's presence. I want to share with you first a verse from Joshua. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And if that doesn't comfort us, it surely should. Very few people in this world would like to be alone. And that's how it should be, because God said it is not good for the man to be alone. So God created a woman as a companion. God originally intended this companionship, this relationship, if you like, to exist between a husband and a wife. But God also has been speaking about his desire to have a presence in the life of his people. And that, of course, is exactly what Jesus was promising when he said, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. A few thoughts I want to share with you. First of all, God's presence is real. It's not something we think up. It's not something that we just imagine. God's presence is real. Perhaps while in a reflective mood, the psalmist asks this question. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? He then listed all the places he might go, but he would never be able to escape all that would happen. He would never be able to escape from God's knowledge or presence. Even in the highest depths, the farthest place, God, of course, would still be with him. Elsewhere, he said, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. That's what the psalmist said. For you are with me. So God's presence is real. But also, God's presence is personal. One of God's characteristics is that he is in all places at the same time. This means he is omnipresent. In the Old Testament, God was personally present in the lives of key individuals. For instance, he appeared to Joseph, who became a leader of the children of Israel. And after Moses died, God said, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. God's presence was, of course, with Joshua. And Joshua had an important mission to perform. He had to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And that's why he had this wonderful promise. Do not be discouraged. I'll always be with you. That must have been very comforting for Joshua. In the New Testament, with the arrival of the Holy Spirit, God is present in those who are believers in Jesus. God is everywhere present. but is personally present and will be present with each Christian for as long as he or she lives on this earth. Then at the moment of death, that believer will be immediately transported into God's presence with his children here on earth, and they will all be together in his presence in the heavens. So what a powerful and comforting promise and prospect. Yes, God's presence is truly personal. God's presence is also a good thing. Sadly, God's presence is not the primary passion of many Christians today. And I say that with much disappointment. But rather than spending their time living and basking in God's presence moment by moment, some people are like Adam and Eve. At one point, Adam and Eve walked continuously with God, but when they sinned, they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. You see, their sin altered their relationship. That they'd enjoyed it with God, but as a result, they tried to hide from God. And you know, people do that today. Something happens in their life and they are ashamed and they try and hide from God. But you know, friends, when we do something wrong, I mean, I know I've done things wrong. Should I hide from God? No, because he knows already anyway, but I mean, that's not really the point. We should not hide from God because he is present with us, so we're not going to be successful anyway. But, he wants to be present. He wants to help us. If we are excited about living in God's presence, then we should check for sin in our lives. And if it comes, confess it to God. Do our part to close the gap between us and the Lord and revel and be pleased again in the truth that God's presence in our life is a good thing. It's the best thing. Why should we ever want to hide from our God? And God's presence obviously is a comfort. If you are like me and probably everyone else, we often wish we could avoid pain, grief, loss, sorrow, failure, and a host of other difficulties. We even wish that we could rid our life of those small yet daily frustrations that constantly seem to wear us down. But note how God's presence comes to us in our times of trouble. Psalm 34, verses 17 and 18. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Isn't that wonderful? You know, recently, I forget what they called it. What's the disease, Eunice? The one that causes dizziness. Sorry? Meniere's. Meniere's, yeah. Right, well, that's seems to have come, I had it before, but it seems to have come back with a vengeance recently. And I really felt terrible. I felt scared. And then I realized that panicking wasn't getting anywhere. What I needed to do was to stop preaching, perhaps, but practice what God says to us, because God says, I am there with you in times of darkness and in times of joy. And in a sense, you know, I had to take that very much to heart and say, sorry, God, I've panicked once again. I wonder, have we caught the fact that God promises to be a source of power, courage, and strength, and to help the righteous through their problems? Sometimes God chooses to deliver us from our problems, but it's exciting when he chooses to give us strength to endure through them. For it is then that we are specially reminded that his presence is with us. And that's what, of course, I've learnt very recently. When difficulties strike, and strike they will, don't let us get upset and frustrated with God. Don't let us, do you hear this, Bruce? Don't have a panic attack. Forgive me, Lord. Instead, remember that God is present with us. We need to acknowledge that we need him at our side. We need to cry out to him. We need to run to him, cling to him. We need to count on his presence. No matter how bad our trials are, the Lord is with us. He is always with his children. So then, what does this really mean for us? Well, surely, it's amazing to realize that God's presence is with us at all times. What then is an appropriate response? Surely, we should share this fact with anyone who will listen to us. We should talk about God when we are with others, especially unbelievers. We should talk about the reality of God's presence in our lives. Verbally lift up our thanks to God at places like meal times and other times for God's faithfulness. You know, unbelievers cannot see God, but they can see him in our lives, and they should be able to see him in our lives. Fellow believers can see God working in us as well. So make it a point to insert God's name into our conversation. Refer to God often. Tell people about how wonderful he is. When others are discouraged or need faith or need a boost, speak to them of the Lord's presence. And here are some ways that we can practice the presence of God. When we receive money, when we receive a gift, before opening it, before spending it, let us thank God for his provision. When we receive a letter or get a phone call from someone with a problem, let us pray with them together and share their issue of concern with God. Let them know that God has seen us through. He is present with anyone who will call upon his name. When we get into a car or into an airplane, when we eat, pray. When you're sad, pray. When we're glad, pray. When we're fearful, pray. When we have a need, pray. Why? Because God's presence is with us always. Finally, may I say that when I feel the Lord is with me in a very special way and at a very special time, my heart is filled with joy. And yet, I often need to remind myself that God is always with me, not just when I feel I've got a need. So let us all be glad, for he never, never leaves us. Through the Holy Spirit, our God is with us every day. Wasn't it Jesus said, when I go to the Father, I will ask him to send someone to be with you. That someone, the Holy Spirit. And through the Spirit, God's presence is with us and will remain with us always. Let us pray. Lord, may we all seek to follow you and to be filled with the humility that Jesus showed in his life. You who are the Son of God, lived a life of servanthood. And we are reminded of how you said, I've come to serve and not to be served. And your example, Lord, is there to remind us of how we should adopt a life of servanthood for ourselves. And Lord, as we seek to be your servants in this world, may others see Jesus in all that we do and in all that we say. May all our efforts be filled with humility. Help us, Lord, to express the humility that will reach others in such a way that they will want to know more about you. May we reach out, Lord, to the brokenhearted, to the sick, to the lonely, to those without the things that we take for granted. Bless all people, O God. May we share with you our joy because you never leave us. And Lord, we would also pray for Deborah, who is still quite ill. Be all that she needs at this moment, Lord. But Lord, as we enjoy your presence, may we be messengers who tell others of your saving love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Message, Bruce, and it was that wonderful scripture in Joshua about being strong and courageous. So we couldn't not sing, be bold, be strong. And yeah, this is really important to Rob and I just now. So we're going to sing, be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. Be bold, be strong. For the Lord your God is with you. I am not afraid. I am not dismayed. I'm walking in faith and victory. for the Lord my God is with me. So, Lewis, I hope Rosie's going to enjoy this one. Anyway, so be bold. Takes you back to Sunday school.
Story of the Christ who died for me.
gather. May the grace
of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I've got it.